today we're continuing our series, Breaking Bad. Anybody breaking bad in your life? All three of you. Oh, that's great. Anybody else breaking bad in your life? All four of you. Anybody else breaking bad in your life? Come on now. There you go. This has been a great series. I've had many reports come back this week, even people who said, Pastor, I just want to share your testimony, how this series is changing my life. So I just encourage you, if you've had something happen during this series where this series has helped change something, you're seeing a testimony of that, please send me a note. Write it out to me. Send me an email or send me a message on Facebook or something. Let me know. I want to rejoice with you and hear that. Many of you have been doing that. We're actually going to be highlighting some of those later on in the future through maybe some video testimonies of what God is doing through this series in your life. It's been a Holy Spirit-led series. We believe that very much here. It's been a series that's kind of consumed our whole summer. We would only do a series maybe 6 to 8 weeks. This is now our 12th, I believe, 12th in the series. So the Holy Spirit's doing something. We know that. And so we're not going to stop until the Holy Spirit says stop. And we know today this is another chance for us to break the bad cycles in our life, as we know that Jesus came to break the bad cycles. Today we're going to talk about breaking the spirit of worry and anxiety. Breaking the spirit of worry and anxiety. Let's go ahead and pick up our text, which we talked about often during the series. We're not to be conformed to this world, right? Let me say again. We as Christians are not to be conformed to the thinking of this world. We need to make that very clear, because sometimes we conform to what their thinking is, and then we let our Christianity follow. That's not the way we do it. As a Christian, I'm not conformed to the thinking of what society says is true or what says is right. As a Christian, I'm conformed to what God's Word says is right about my life. I don't allow the world to conform my mind. I'm to allow the Word of God to conform my mind. It says we are not to be conformed to this world, but be what? Come on, say it with me. You should know by now. But be by the of your mind. We're to be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. All together, one more time. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is where we are changed. Remember last week when I said to you that at salvation, our soul is redeemed. At the minute we accept Jesus, my soul is redeemed. But my mind is not. That's why after I'm saved, we go back and say, why am I still battling with some of these same thoughts in my mind? Why am I still battling with some of these same addictions in my mind? And it's because my spirit and my soul's been saved, but my mind is in the process of being saved. My mind, and I am the gatekeeper of that. So I've got to learn that my mind has got to be transformed into what God says I am and who God says I am. And so we're learning to do this in this series. We're learning principles that allow us to do that. The word transform is the word we get the word. It's actually translated in the Greek original meaning as the word metamorpho, which is where we get the word metamorphosis. Okay? And so I want you to picture when we're talking about being transformed in our mind, this metamorphosis happening, the caterpillar, you know, goes into the cocoon, and what happens? It comes out of what? A butterfly. Turn to your neighbor and say, I believe I can fly. Come on now. Some of you are meant to fly, but you feel like a caterpillar. You ever had those days? You're like, I'm just trying to inch on through life. You're talking about flying, Pastor. I'm just inching through life, trying not to get stepped on. Because people like Jay will take me and use me for catfish bait. So I've got to go and take these caterpillars and but there's a transformation that God is wanting to do in our life, and it happens in our mind. This whole series has been giving us tools on how that happens. So today we're talking about defeating the spirit of worry and anxiety. Matter of fact, let's look at this pyramid I give you right here. Worry is the foundation, because we go from worry, the things we worry about, we become anxious about, and we have suffer anxiety about those things, and then our anxiety leads to fear. So if you're battling with fear, it all starts with worry. And if you're battling with worry, you got things that are going to creep up in your life that you're going to walk in fear of if you don't learn to get right down to the core of the issue. Now today, I'm going to be talking about the first part of this, the worry and anxiety. Next week, I'm excited to tell you, we're going to talk about breaking the spirit of fear in our life. How many know that the Bible is very clear that He has not given us a spirit of fear, right? And we allow fear to rule us way too much. So we're going to talk about getting out of our bad cycle, has with a lot to do with breaking the spirit of fear. And I'm going to preach it in a way I've never preached it here before, because I believe the Holy Spirit showed me some ways that Jesus dealt with fear and how we can learn from that. That's next week. But today, we're setting up that message with today's message on breaking anxiety and worry. You know what the number one thing is when it comes to medications today? Prescriptions given out. You know what the number one thing in America, why medicines are prescribed? Has to do with worry and anxiety. Isn't that amazing? You would think maybe it would be something like diabetes or something to do with blood pressure. Maybe blood pressure goes along with that because maybe your anxiety and worry is keeping your blood pressure a little higher than it should be. But the number one medication that's given out today in America prescribed has to do with worry and anxiety. Hospitals are full of people who are actually worrying themselves to death. We've used that term before, but it's actually true. Our hospitals are full of people with symptoms that are related to the worry and anxiety in their life. It's a big issue. If it wasn't a big issue, the scripture wouldn't deal with it. And the scripture deals very plainly and tells us many times about we're not to fear, to be anxious for nothing, to worry about nothing. And so we're going to look at this today and dive into it a little more and look how we can defeat the spirit. At the root, I believe, at the root of all anxiety, as I was praying this week over this message, the Holy Spirit just showed me this vision. I believe at the root of all anxiety, you can find an orphan spirit. An orphan spirit. See, Pastor, what do you mean by that? There's a spirit of wondering whether or not you're going to be abandoned. God, are you really going to show up? If I get into trouble, is someone really going to be there? And it's almost this orphan spirit will be allowed to come and grip us with fear, saying, I'm by myself. I'm walking this alone. I know Pastor Gene says God's with me, God's for me, God will help me. But when it comes right down to it, I'm in fear that I'm going to be abandoned. And I believe we can find a lot of that going back to the spirit of having a fatherless generation, that many people in this room have been raised without a strong father figure in your life, or had someone who was there but wasn't there all the time the way they should have been. And so you've got this fear of maybe abandonment or being orphaned. But I want you to know that the love of the Father is so strong in this room today. The love of the Father is so strong in this room. I love being a father, and I love nothing more than being a father. Nothing more pleases me than being a father. I love pastoring. I love developing leaders. I love seeing you grow. But nothing brings me more joy in my life than being a father. It really does. Something about this time and age of my children where I can spend time with them and seeing them grow, it brings such joy. Let me say, that's the way it should be. And I know maybe some of you didn't experience that, but that's the way God designed it. And even more so, how does our Heavenly Father take joy in being our Heavenly Father? He loves it. He loves for you to come to Him with your worry and anxiety. He loves for you to come to Him with things that you're going through in your life, that He can step in and be the Father that He wants to be, our Heavenly Father. So I'm going to give you some tools today. How do we overcome this worry and anxiety in our life? How do we overcome worry and anxiety? Number one, we got to learn to consider them as agents of the enemy to destroy your life and rob your joy. Let me say it again. When it comes to anxiety and worry, you got to consider them as agents of the enemy to destroy your life and to rob your joy. When you look at fear and anxiety and worry, you think, you know what? That's the seed the devil is planting in my life to try to rob me of God's joy. He's trying to plant seeds of worry, because if I can spend all my time consumed with worrying about what's going to happen, then I'll never operate in the blessing that God's got for me. I'll never experience the love of the Father. You see, how can I focus on God's love for me and plans for me in my life if I'm always worried about things that are going to go wrong? If I'm always worried about what's going to happen? See, whatever I focus on, that thing becomes what? Big in my life. No matter how small the object is, if I focus on it long enough, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And pretty soon, that thing consumes my thoughts. And let's be honest, we consume over small things that a month from now are really not relevant. And we spend a lot of time consuming and worried about things that never come to pass. Well, what's going to happen next month when this bill comes due and this one comes due at the same time, or this happens and this, and we're all worried about it, and we start consuming about it, and we let anxiety rule us, and we're worried about it, and we walk around, we're thinking about it, and pretty soon we're walking around depressed, we're walking around anxious, we're walking around worried, and we are experiencing no abundant living that Scripture says God has called us to live in. We're not experiencing the joy of the Lord, which brings us strength. Therefore, we're walking without strength. We're walking in fear. We're walking worried, anxiety. And Satan's saying, exactly. That's exactly where I want you. I want you so worried about the small things in your life that you missed the big picture. That's God's plan for your life. And so it's Satan's tool. So when I see this anxiety and worry creeping itself up in my mind, in my heart, I've got to say, you know what? This is just Satan's plan. This is just Satan's plan to get me distracted from God's plan for my life. God's got a much better plan for your life. And it's not a plan for you to walk around full of anxiety and worry. Well, Pastor, that's just my personality. My mom was a worrier. I'm a worrier. Well, someone's got to break it. Are you going to pass that on to your children as well? It's just my part. No. See, you're a child of God. And when I'm saved, as Scripture says, all things become what? All things become what? New. That means generational curses don't have to follow me. That means personality types can be broken off, and I can begin to transform my mind to think as Jesus wants me to think. I can transform my spirit to experience joy. I can transform my thought process to receive the joy of the Lord every day in my life and come against the spirit of worry and anxiety. It's Satan's tool to use you to get distracted, lose focus in your life. Number two, when you look at fear and anxiety, turn every anxious and worrisome thought into a prayer until victory. This is how we overcome it. We take our anxious thoughts, our worrisome thoughts, and we turn them into a prayer until victory. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because Scripture says it very clearly in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be what? Anxious for some things, right? Be anxious for some things, correct? Scripture says be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But what about, we got our answer right here. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by what? Prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And what happens then? Then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding and comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds. I'm transformed by what? My mind. I'm transformed. My mind, I'm being renewed and transformed by my mind. So how do I do that? I guard my mind against these anxious and worrisome thoughts. How do I do that? By learning to give prayer to these things. All right, are you ready for me to give you a good statement today? This is going to kind of rock you a little bit, but it's okay. Stop trying to pray religiously and start praying about the things that worry you. Some of you here are like, I try to pray, Pastor, but I get so distracted when I'm trying to pray. I try to do these religious prayers. Oh, Father, as the dew comes from heaven, may I be as a deer, panting after your dew. First of all, let me say, prayer is not a competition. It's not that I'm trying to outdo my friend's prayers. I'm trying to outdo somebody else's prayers. Prayer is about you communicating with the Father. And could it be that while you're trying to pray religiously, you ever had this problem when you're trying to pray that all of a sudden your mind goes to other things? Am I the only one who has that problem? I'm trying to pray about this, but my mind's thinking about this bill I got to pay. It's thinking about this problem going on with one of my kids or something that's happening in a relationship. You know what I'm talking about? Or could it be that those are the things that the Holy Spirit's wanting us to pray about? Could it be the things that we're worried about are the things that the Holy Spirit's saying, all right, I want you to begin to pray and give those worrisome things over to me. Someone says, wow, we can do that? Yes, we can do that. And that's why they're coming to your mind, because the Holy Spirit is trying to get you to bring those things and place those things that are bringing you worry in an anxious spirit and place them at the feet of Jesus and say, God, you're in control. God, I'm worried about this. It may not matter to nobody else, but it matters to me, and I'm worried about it, and here it is. And God says, finally, I can be a father to my child. Because you know what? Each one of my children have individual needs, individual wants, individual learnings. And when I talk to them personally, it makes it unique. And that's part of the gift of a father, is learning how to communicate and how to relate with each child. And so when you come to him and give him those personal prayers, God, this is what's stressing me out. Quit trying to be holy and be honest. And let God work in your life. This is how we defeat the anxious spirit. This is how we defeat a worrisome spirit in our life. Start praying about things that you worry about. And we got to learn to attack the enemy every day. Learn to attack the enemy every day. Don't let him hang out in your mind all day long. If the enemy's putting thoughts of worry and anxiety in your mind, don't let it sit there all day long. Learn to attack it. If today, if this place was full like it is today in the first and second service, and someone came to me and said, Pastor, we got a terrorist here in the middle of our church. He's anti-Christian, and he's known to have killed several Christians. And he's in our midst, and he's sitting right here. How many think I would go the rest of the service ignoring him? Do you think that? Oh, it's just hallelujah. He'll go away. No. I said, Carlos, you better get the security team ready because it's about to go down right here. You guys scoot him to the front, and I'll come off the stage with a drop kick, and we'll take this guy out. No, we would deal with it right away. I would say, call the security team. Call the police. We're going to get this person right away. We're not going to give him a chance to attack us. We're going to attack him. How many of us let spiritual bin Laden stay in our mind all day long? How many of us let spiritual bin Laden stay there all day long, and we never do a thing about it, and we allow it to sit there and attack us all day long in our mind, and we never take authority over it and defeat that? No, when I sense the worry coming in my mind, I deal with it then. God, I am worried about this, but in the name of Jesus, you have not given me a spirit of fear, a spirit of worry, a spirit of anxiety. But God, I thank you that you've given me peace that passes all comprehension. I thank you, Father, that you're going to take care of me. And Father, I'm giving you the things I'm worried about today, and this thing shall not control my mind today. And tomorrow morning when I get up and I'm worried about something different, I take that thing into authority right then in my mind and deal with it right there. This is how I learn to defeat the worrisome and anxiety spirit. But some of us are lazy. We let that thing reside there and we don't do anything about it. Then we let it build up until it destroys us, and now we're consumed with fear and anxiety. It says prayer with thanksgiving. We pray with thanksgiving. I pray, Father, thank you that you're in control. Here's what I'm worried about. And then I move my prayer to God. Thank you that you're in control of my life. God, thank you that even though I don't understand about my job, I've been telling them they may lay me off in 2 weeks. I don't know what's going to happen. But God, I thank you that if that happens, that God, you're going to sustain me. You'll take care of me through the hard times, and you'll walk through me, and I won't be alone. I thank you, God, if that happens, that God, you'll work it out on my behalf, and I'll end up being better in the long run from you. You'll bring even a better job, and you'll move me to something different, and you'll teach me something along the way. But God, I thank you that you're in control. Are you noticing the difference? I sit around going, oh my God, we're going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my job. I may lose my job. Kids, we're not doing nothing but water and rice. 3 months, we're on water. No, I don't panic. I say, God, you're in control. God, you're in control. God, you're in control. I thank you, Father, you're in control of my life. If Bill Gates was your father, would you worry about money? Huh? Think about it. If Bill Gates was your father, would you worry about money? No. You'd be like, Dad's Bill. Bill Gates is Dad. Money would not be a problem in my mind. I wouldn't even think twice about any money problems the rest of my life if Bill Gates was my father. If your dad owns a car lot, are you going to be worried about a car? No, you're going to be like, all right, my car may break down, but at least I can go borrow one off of Dad's lot until mine's fixed. You're not going to be consumed with your car breaking down and not having transportation if your dad owns a car lot. Are you following me here today? See, what we got to realize is our Father makes Bill Gates look bankrupt compared to him. Scripture says that everything belongs to him. Everything belongs to him. And that he shall supply all of our needs according to what? His riches. And so I've got to realize that I'm under his care. And God, you've got me in your hands. And when I seek first your kingdom, that you shall bring the rest in the past, in my life. It happens in my life. The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus. And the last thing today, by faith, we believe and confess that God is our loving God. He's our loving dad. And he will always care for you. Listen to what I said, by faith. Because sometimes it takes faith to confess that. Sometimes you don't always feel it. I don't always feel it. You don't always feel it. I know that. By faith, I believe and I confess that God, you are my loving dad, and he will always care for you. God said he will never what? Leave us or what? God said, I will never leave you or I will. Come on, say it out loud. God will never leave us or forsake us. Let's say it together. He will never leave me or forsake me. All right, for some of you here today, I want to give you a revelation, okay? And the revelation is this. Our Heavenly Father is not a deadbeat dad. He will be there for you. And part of the reason that many of you struggle with this concept is because you were raised in a home where the father wasn't there. Or you had a father that was there, but he wasn't there, okay? Or you had a father who never showed up, or you was abandoned, or never showed you any attention at all. And so therefore, when we talk about the relationship between us and the Father, we have a hard time because we can't comprehend that, and we carry this abandoned spirit in us. But let me tell you, the promise of the Father is he will never leave us nor forsake us. He didn't say it wouldn't be a hard time. He didn't say there wouldn't be times of sorrow. He didn't say there wouldn't be times of weeping. But what he did say this, I will never leave you in those times. He did say, I'll send peace to you in the middle of your storm. He did say this, that even though you weep through your darkest hour, that joy will come back to you in the morning. It's the promise of the Father that he won't leave us, that he's there. He brings security in your life. It brings a place. And nothing in my life, I tell you what, one of the things that I struggle with the most as being a pastor is I know that we have some beautiful children in this room that always, sometimes some of them have parents that aren't active in their life. Some of them have fathers who don't show up when they're supposed to show up. And I tell you, nothing gets me boiling more. And I hear about it and tell my wife, I said, I'm so angry. I'm so sad at the same time. I'm so upset because I can't comprehend that. I can't comprehend why fathers aren't showing up and being there because our spiritual father is not that way. Let me say again, our spiritual father is not that way. He is there. He says, don't worry. Don't be anxious. Let me be the God that I want to be to you. Just come to me. Just come to me. And say, God, I believe you are a father. God, I believe and confess that God, you are my loving dad and you will always be there for me. This is how I get past the spirit. Matthew 6:31, look what it says. Jesus said, therefore, don't worry. Is that word? Don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For, look what it says, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Our job is to first seek the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and then all these other things will be taken care of. Therefore, do not worry. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't worry. Be happy. Okay. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. I would venture to say that probably 95% of the marriages in here, that there's one person in that marriage who is a worry wart, and the other person is carefree, doesn't worry about anything hardly. And you're ready, like, ah! When my wife and I first got married, she was the one who would worry about things, and I was always like, yeah, whatever, you know. And so I would try to sleep at night, and she'd be waking me up. How can you sleep when we got this thing facing us next week we need to be thinking about, and she's worried about it? I'm like, because I want to sleep. That problem will be there next week, and you know it's not today. And so until it gets here, I'm not going to worry about it. And over time, she's helped me be care about things maybe more than I should, helped me care about things a little more. And I've helped her relax a little bit and not to worry so much. And if you can't deal with it today, then don't worry about it, because there's a high chance that thing won't even be important next week. Really. A lot of things we're stressing out about won't be important next week or a month from now. We're like, why did I worry about that? It just worked itself out. Listen, I'm telling you, learn to chill. Learn to say, God, you're in control. I am not going to allow worry and anxiety to rule my mind and to steal me of the joy that God has for my life. I'm breaking bad. I'm getting out of the cycle. How many today say, Pastor, I'm ready to break that spirit of anxiety and worry in my life. I can admit that oftentimes I let it control me. Anybody here? Yeah. Just like the first service, several people raising their hands today say, that's me. Our musicians are coming today, and I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet. If you're here, you say, Pastor, I want to break that spirit of anxiety and worry in my life. You don't have to, but if you would like to, you're more than welcome to join us in the front as we close out with this song. So I'm going to invite you to come. Those who want to join us in the front, and we're going to make a declaration in our hearts. Say, God, I am not going to allow anxiety and fear to rule my life. Thanks, guys, for being honest today. Press in to the back, guys. Press in a little further in the front. Make room for those coming in. This morning, we're saying, God, I don't want anxiety and fear, and I don't want worrisome spirit to attack me. I'm tired of giving into that. Today, I'm saying, God, I want to learn to focus on how big you are. So we're going to sing this song. It simply says, how great is our God? And I want you to put all your attention on how great our God is. As you do this, say, God, I'm allowing fear. I'm allowing anxiety. I'm allowing worry to shrink in my life. And God, I'm turning it over to you. God, I'm not going to allow this thing to sit there and torment my mind any longer. I want to learn what it means to walk in the joy of the Lord every day of my life and turn over my worries to Him. Come on, let's make it personal.
The splendor of
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that every spirit of worry and anxiety must come down in the minds of your people. And God, as we stand here in faith and declare that we are turning our minds over to you, we're turning our hearts over to you, I pray that those who have a worrisome heart, those who are struggling with anxiety and worry, God, I pray today that they are let free, they are set free in their mind, in Jesus' name. That God, they will begin to take upon your spirit and begin to give you the things, cast their cares upon you, and they can walk lighter and free, knowing that you, Father, are carrying their burdens, knowing that you, Father, are going to work things out. And Father, right now, I speak a new freedom in this room today. That God, you allow that worry spirit to be gone in Jesus' name. And we speak freedom through the name of your Son, Jesus. Jesus' name, we speak freedom in every mind, every heart here today. God, I believe you are setting them free. God, you're allowing that abandoned spirit to be broken in their mind. May they see you as the Heavenly Father differently. God, may they have new security in you. You're breaking that spirit of insecurity. You're breaking spirits of comparison. And you're allowing that worry to be broken in the name of Jesus. I declare it as their pastor and spiritual leader today. I declare freedom in their mind and heart and a new joy in Jesus' name. And tomorrow when I get up, Father, I will attack any worrisome spirit that tries to attack my mind. In the name of Jesus, we say together, amen. Come on, put your hands together one more time. Give God praise. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for being here today. Remember, if you want to come to the newcomers, please sign up in the back before you leave today. God bless you.